want to read one verse of scripture out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Then we're going to get right into the message today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. The word said, patient endurance. Say endurance. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then, shout then. Then you will receive all that He has promised. Patient endurance is what you need right now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. I want to preach to you this morning the first message in a two-part series I've simply titled, Don't Give Up Now. Don't give up now. If you will, one more time, pray with me and for me. Father, thank you once again for your presence. We thank you today for your word. Lord, we pray for the next few moments that you would, decrease every distraction and every hindrance that might prohibit us and hinder us from hearing and receiving what you'd speak to us today. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay to deliver your word today and that your word would come forth in the power and the demonstration of your spirit. Lord, I also pray today that you would anoint every ear to hear and every heart to receive what you're speaking to your people today. And Lord, I pray more than anything that there would be many people leave this house today encouraged not to give up now, because they are about to receive the promise that you have for them. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for this in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. The Lord has given me something to share with you. It's going to take a couple of Sundays. And he really began stirring this last week. I preached a message to you titled The Voice of Victory. If you didn't get a chance to be here, I encourage you to go back and listen to it on the podcast. It'll set you up for what I'm going to share today. And then again, I'll be continuing in it. But this message, I believe that God is going to help some people who are just about to stop short of something that God intends for you to pursue. Although I don't know the specifics of your situation, and I don't have to know the specifics of your situation, I feel like the Lord has given me something from the Scripture that's going to push you to keep going. Because how many people know sometimes we need a good push? And I'm going to try my best over these two messages to load you up with hope. I'm going to be a hope dealer today. Is that all right? I'm going to load you up with hope. And this week, I'm going to talk today about stopping short of a promise that God wants you to receive. And then the next message, I'm going to talk about stopping short of a purpose that God has called you to fulfill. But today, we're going to talk about stopping short of a promise that God wants you to receive. Patient endurance. I want you to look at your neighbor this morning. Go ahead and look at him. Now tell him this. What you need to do is endure. Endurance. Patient endurance. What you need to do is endure. In other words, don't give up. Endure. The scripture told us in one scripture, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. This verse that I read to you this morning out of Hebrews is such a powerful verse, because listen to me this morning. God can make you a promise, but you will never possess that promise until you first learn how to endure. That is true in relationships. That is true in churches. That is certainly true in our spiritual growth. That's also true in business. That's just a good principle. God can make you a promise that you may never receive until you first learn how to endure. So I want to speak to somebody today who knows in your heart, you know that God has spoke something to you. It's in your heart, but you are on the verge of stopping short of what God has placed inside of you, something that He spoke to you. It may be something that has faded into the background that you've been waiting on a long time, but even as I speak this morning, you can still hear that echoing in your heart. And I want to use a story in the Old Testament today to illustrate the verse that we just read. I want to speak to you for a few moments from the sixth chapter of the sixth book of the Bible, in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 is a very interesting chapter because it describes how that God's people had to conquer a land that had already been given to them. It was theirs, but they weren't living there yet. Is anybody with me this morning? A promise God had already given them, but they weren't walking in it yet. So I think that's the way it is a lot of times for our Christian walk, because Scripture tells us that God has blessed us in every way with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what the book says. So what does that mean, Pastor? That means whatever is in Christ is supposed to be working in your life. Whatever is in this book is supposed to be working in your life. The peace of Christ. Could anybody use some peace? The joy of the Lord. I know some of y'all could use some joy. All I have to do sometimes is look at you, and I can tell you could use some joy. The strength of God. It's all supposed to be working in our lives. But listen to me. Just because God promised it does not mean that you possess it yet. In Joshua chapter 6, we get to see God's people as they're about to take possession. And Sierra's already got it on the screen for you. Joshua chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. Now, on the seventh day, we're going to come back to that in a moment, so hold on to that. On the seventh day, verse 5, when you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. And some of y'all said, oh, there ain't no need in all that. Right? I don't know. God told Joshua, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then, shout then. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. What God was saying here is, you are finally going to get what God started promising Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob. You are finally going to get what Moses never got to enter because he didn't go into the promised land. Moses only led the people out of Egypt. Joshua, you are finally going in, but first, everybody shout first. First, you've got to march for 6 days. There are at least 3 reasons in this text this morning, and if you're taking notes, you might want to write them down. But if you do, while you're writing, if I say something good, shout and write at the same time, okay? Multitask. Just help me preach this morning. 3 reasons I want to highlight today that people stop short, and I believe it started with this. I've noticed that so many people never receive what God has promised them because they simply don't endure. I asked Angie just yesterday, I said, why do you think such and so never, I'll just be honest with you, it's some folks that I love dearly that have planted a few churches. And I said, why do you think that they never got a church off the ground? Why did that never work for them? And she said, well, for starters, this isn't easy. And you have to learn how to endure. She had no clue what I was preaching on. I said, you've been looking at my notes. She said, no, but you got to learn how to endure some things if you're going to receive what God has for you. I've noticed that so many people never receive what God promised them because they simply don't endure. So 3 reasons. The first reason is because our perspective gets blocked. Our perspective gets blocked. I was studying a little bit about Jericho, and how many of you remember hearing about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho when you were growing up in Sunday school or in Bible school? Let me see your hands if you remember that. Remember, we even had a little song that went along with it, so I want you to help me if you know it. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, Jericho. Sing it. Jericho. If you know it, sing it. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Anybody remember that? You can talk about the men. Anybody remember it? It was a good little song that we learned when we did the story in Bible school or Sunday school about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. But here's one thing I know. I believe if Joshua heard that song, he wouldn't be a fan of it. Not because you don't sing good, but because it was so simplified to say that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. It made it sound like Joshua just showed up. That's all he had to do. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, because Jericho was the first city in the Promised Land that God's people had to take before they could have everything that God wanted to give them as their inheritance. It was the first. Everybody shout first. Can I tell you this morning that often the first battle is the hardest? How many of you know that sometimes getting started is the hardest part? Just getting started. Just like going to the gym. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I used to go a whole lot. I don't go as much anymore. I'm in the pulpit. I ain't gonna lie about it. But it's like going to the gym. How many knows if you can just drag your sorry self out of bed and get dressed and get there, you can get through the workout, right? Sometimes getting started is the hardest part. And yet, as I was studying about Jericho, and we sing the song, and it's like he fought the battle and the walls came down. But what, you know what it doesn't tell us? What it doesn't tell us is that before this, Joshua spent 45 years in the wilderness. 45 years wandering because the generation before him didn't have enough faith to go in. He had waited 45 years to even get the opportunity to go into Jericho. So Joshua's listening to us sing, and I believe he's like, wait just a minute. This is not as simple as you make it sound. Can I tell you that sometimes when we see somebody else's victory, how many knows what I'm talking about? It's easy to get your eyes to be distracted from God and get your eyes on your situation, and then you see somebody else get the victory, and all of a sudden your attitude becomes, why them and not me? Is there any real folks in the house this morning? Or am I in the first self-righteous church in the sleepy little town of Pascagoula? Some of y'all know that and some of you won't. And I'd like to let a squirrel get loose sometimes, I'll just tell you that. But anyway, side note, squirrel. Literally, squirrel. Anyway, back to that. Sometimes we get our eyes focused on somebody else getting their victory. And then we begin to say, why me? Why didn't I get that? Why didn't that happen for me? And sometimes when we see somebody else's victory, you know what we quickly and easily do? We oversimplify the process. We assume that it was just easy for them. That God just opened the windows of heaven and poured out exactly what they needed. But you know what you've not seen? You've not seen the 45 years they've been waiting on it. You've not seen the blood, sweat, and tears that they've sowed into it. You've not witnessed the sleepless nights. Is anybody going to help me preach this morning? Or the times that they got in their prayer closet and sought the face of God for God to move. You've not seen all that. You're just oversimplifying the process and thinking, boom, it happened for them. It ought to happen for me. And for Joshua, it actually went the other way around, because first of all, Jericho was not a very big city. I'm going to teach you a little bit of geography from the Bible this morning. It was actually a very small city. Do you know that you could march around the entire city or town of Jericho in about 1 hour? It was not that Jericho was so big that it made it a challenging city for them to conquer. It was that Jericho's walls were so high. I want to preach right there for just a minute, because some of the stuff that is not happening in your life, some of the stuff that God has promised you, some of the stuff that you are intimidated by, it's not that it's really bigger than you, because they just sang about it this morning, because God is in you, and God is bigger than anything that you face. It's just that your perspective gets blocked by how high the walls are. That's why you've done good to come to church this morning. Pat yourself on the back and say, good job, self. Because sometimes the hardest part is just getting here. Can I get a witness this morning? But if you'll learn something about church, here's one of the things about church. It will, when you come to church, it will lift your perspective to see beyond the walls of your problems. It'll lift your perspective to see beyond the obstacles and the opposition in your life, because as long as all you're looking for in your life is walls, and as long as that's what most of us spend 6 days a week doing, is just staring at the walls, staring at the problem, staring at the issue, the trouble, the deficit, the setback, just looking at our past. Is anybody in the house this morning focused on that situation, looking at walls? But when you come to church, and here's the way it should be. So now for those of you that haven't praised Him yet this morning, you've missed out, but I'm going to give you another opportunity in a minute. But if you would learn something about praise, when you come to church and you gather with other people and you start praising God with other people, you'll find strength. You'll see that, hey, I'm not alone in this. I'm not on my own in this. I've got other people that are pursuing God with me. And there's something about praising God, something about making an effort, which you have to do to get into His presence. You're not always going to feel it. In Micah's song, he said, I praise when I feel it, and I'll praise when I don't. You're not always going to feel it, but there's something about when you make the effort to get into God's presence, it will elevate your perspective so that you can see over the walls of your problems. And when you see past your problems, you can see that the enemy that you were intimidated by was actually intimidated by you all along. You know why? Listen, folks, it's easy to praise God when everything's going well in your life. It's easy to praise God when there's money in the bank and the bills are paid and the kids are healthy. It's easy to praise God when you've got a good job. It's easy to praise God when you've got a good report from the doctor. But I want to tell you something. When the other things come, because how many knows they will come in this life? When the rains fall and the winds blow, because let me tell you, I talked about this in my class on Wednesday night. It rains on the just and the... It's not just the good, bad things happen to good people all the time. But when you learn to praise God in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your circumstance, you'll never, until you learn to praise God in the middle of your trouble, you'll never know what it was like for Daniel when God shut the lion's mouth. You'll never know what it was like for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to walk through the fiery furnace and not even have the smell of smoke on their clothing. You'll never know what it was like for David when he took a sling and a stone in his hand and slew the enemy. You'll never know what it was like for Joshua to conquer Jericho until you learn to praise God in the middle of your trouble. You just got to look over the wall sometimes. It says in verse 1, Sierra, if you'll put verse 1 back on the screen for me, please. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. Then in verse 2, the Lord says to Joshua, I have given you Jericho. To me, those two verses don't go together. I'm about to show you why. My problem with verse 2 is verse 1. Because after the Lord told him in verse 1, he said the gates are tightly shut, nobody can go in, nobody can go out. But then in verse 2, he says, I have given you Jericho. Now listen, first of all, only God can speak in past tense about a battle you haven't even fought yet. That's how big God is. That's how confident God is in His own ability. He said, we haven't even started the first round, but I've already given it to you. I live outside of time, and I'm not stressed about what you're stressed about. I've got this thing worked out, and if you'll get on board with my plan, you too can have the victory, because my promise will prevail. Sometimes you got to see over the walls. And too many times as Christians, that's why I preach what I preached last Sunday. We walk around living in defeat when I've already read the end of the book. I already know who won. There is nothing that the devil can do to me. Are you with me this morning? There is nothing that the enemy can do to you. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. But I want you to watch this, because I'm telling you, verse 1 looks nothing like verse 2. In verse 2, he says, see, I've given you Jericho. Verse 1, the gates were tightly shut. In other words, God's saying, you've got this. And Joshua says, no, all I see is walls. All I see is locked up gates. Have you ever felt like in your life that what you see in your life doesn't match up with what God has spoken in your heart? Have you? Or is it just me? Have you ever felt like that God was speaking to you about victory, but you still felt defeated? Have you ever felt like God was speaking to you about healing, but all your mind can do is echo the report of the doctor, and so you feel hopeless? I would say to you this morning, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, we have the victory. Whose report will you believe? Have you ever felt like that God was speaking to you to tell somebody else about Jesus, but inside you have your own doubts about how to simply share the gospel? I'm just wondering, have you ever felt like what God said doesn't match up with what you see? Have you ever had God instructing you in your heart to give something away, but you had needs yourself? I want to tell you, when God tells you to give, you better do it right then. Sometimes the Lord will make you pay for it if you don't. I was standing in line at a grocery store. I'm not going to make the story as long as it was this morning. The Lord spoke to me to pay the balance of somebody's groceries in front of me. And I knew it was the Lord speaking to me, but at the same time, sometimes we just think that we drum that stuff up in our own heads. And I thought, that woman's liable to get upset at me, thinking I'm up in her business, paying attention to what's going on here. But the Lord had said, pay for the balance of her groceries, and I didn't do it. The cashier was going back and forth with her, and they were trying to figure it out, and then she went and got a manager, and I thought, okay, they're going to get it figured out. It's fine. That wasn't the Lord telling me. I'm here myself. They got this worked out. The manager comes over, and then finally, the manager says, I'll tell you, sometimes the Lord will make you pay, and that's all right, too. The manager says, all right. She leans in quietly to her, and she says, I've put the maximum I can put on your EBT card. There's nothing left for this month. She said, I put the maximum I can put on your credit card, the maximum it would take. She said, you still owe $2.69. I felt like a stab went right in my gut, and I thought, you should have paid. That lady wouldn't have had to use her credit card. But I was standing there, and she pulled out a five, and she paid her $2.69, and the Lord said, I heard his voice again. And he even told me about something I had forgot I had. The Lord said, you didn't pay for her groceries like I told you. So now take that $100 bill that's in your wallet that you have left over from vacation and give her the whole thing. And I thought, well, now, wait a minute, Lord. She was only $2.69 short. How many knows what I'm talking about? The Lord said, don't tell her your name. Don't tell her your church name. You just go give it to her and say, I told you to give it to her. Listen, let me tell you something this morning. When the Lord tells you to give, I don't care if you even have needs yourself, when you obey his voice, he will bless you. His word is true. You cannot, I learned a long time ago, the secret to getting is giving. If you'll be a giver, God will let you be a funnel, and he'll funnel it right through you. And yeah, he may tell you to open your billfold and give somebody a $100 bill. Don't nobody get excited. I don't have one today. Amen. But he may tell you to do that. If you will do what God tells you to do, God will bless you beyond anything you could ever imagine. And sometimes he'll do it when you have needs yourself. Have you ever heard God telling you that you need to start tithing? It's going to get real quiet now. And putting the Lord first while you were struggling to make your ends meet. I'm just asking, have you ever had a season in your life where your revelation didn't match up with reality? And that was the situation for Joshua, and his perspective was blocked. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on to point two. But that is why God sends you pastors and preachers. That's why God gave you a pastor. He's given you wonderful youth pastors. He's given you people in your connect groups and people that you can serve with so that you can see past your walls and keep a perspective of what God has promised. Sometimes you need somebody else to push you to get a new perspective. The problem with the church world today is, and you can do anything you want except throw things at me. But the problem with the church world today is many people can never see past their walls and gain a new perspective because they're not willing to take the correction that's going to come from the push from somebody else in their life. Our perspective won't be blocked anymore if we'll listen to the word of the Lord. The second reason that I think a lot of us stop short is because our progress isn't always obvious. God speaks to Joshua and he says, march around the walls for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march seven times, and it's going to be awesome. These walls are coming down. So Joshua calls the people together for six, and I want you to follow me here. I'm going to show you something cool in the Word because the Bible is amazing. I hope you read the Bible. Somebody say the Bible's amazing. You got to read it yourself, though, to know that. Joshua summoned the priests, and he said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry seven trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army to advance and to march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. And to get this instruction to start marching, and Joshua, after he told the people in verse 8. After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they march, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. So they're making progress. Everybody say, making progress. Does anybody think that it feels good besides me to make progress? I love progress. Just to see things going in the right direction in your life. You know, it's kind of like making your bed in the morning. Some of y'all don't have no progress. But for Angie, it's like the day is going to go wrong if that bed is not made. And it's to the point that if I don't get out of it in time for her to make it, I have to make it myself. So if y'all want to know why I'm up early, I'd rather get out of it than make it. Say amen, somebody. But there's also something about me. I am the type of person, I don't get necessarily tore up over the bed, but I like to see things progressing. And I get very frustrated if I can't see progress. So they're making progress, and let's look at verse 9. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with the horns and some behind the ark with the priest continually blowing the horns. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, watch this, not to give a war cry, not to raise their voices, don't say a word, not a single word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once, and then the army returned to camp and they spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. And the armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard followed behind the Ark of the Lord. All this time the trumpets were sounding. So on the second day they marched around the city one time. They returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. And I want to get all up in this story right now because I want us to feel what these men must have felt when they thought they were about to charge into this city and wage war, but all they ended up doing for 6 straight days was taking a walk. Let me tell you, if I were God, isn't that the scariest thing you've ever heard? Be glad I'm not. But if I were God and I was orchestrating this miracle, if I were writing Joshua chapter 6, and I had this group of fighting men, and I wanted them to march around the wall 6 times, and then on the 7th time, I'm going to let the walls collapse, I would want to keep them motivated. I'm the kind of person that likes to keep people motivated. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them some type of little sign every time they complete one lap. I'm going to give them just a little bit of sign that you're doing good. You march around one day, and 1/7 of the wall crumbles, and you can see incremental progress. Anybody like that, like me? I'm going to give them a sign, keep them motivated. I would show them. Anybody remember Tetris? Where's my old folks? Or those of us over 40, that's really not old. Remember Tetris. Nowadays, what is it you kids play? Block Fest Puzzle or something like that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyway, you put all the blocks in the same line, and when you get a line filled, it disappears. You know what I'm talking about? Progress. You know how to watch it and see something happen to motivate you to stay in motion. Listen, I don't mind to work hard. I don't mind to sacrifice. I don't mind to put up with stuff, but I have to know that my pain has a purpose. I have to know that it's serving a purpose, that there's a point to this. But listen, the Bible doesn't say that they walked around the first day and a little bit of the wall fell down. They walked around the second day and a little bit fell down. They would have been so enthusiastic. They would have been so motivated. They would have said, look, we got something done today. Instead, if you were one of those fighting men, you'd come home to your wife after the first night. I know probably they didn't come home to their wives. They had camp set up, but just pretend and go with me. You'd come home to your wife after the first night, and your wife would say, how'd it go? Are we going in? What's it like in there? Is it amazing? Who'd you kill today, my big, strong warrior? Who'd you kill today? And then how many knows that makes you feel about this big? When you say, well, actually, baby, we didn't even fight today. You know, it's kind of more like a spring training. It's like preseason. What'd you do? We just went for a walk. Oh. I think Joshua wants us to get acclimated to the conditions. He wants us to get our muscles stretched out. He wants us to get a vision for what's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, okay. So you come home on the second day because it said they did this for 6 straight days. And you think, that's not that long. Let me tell you something. It's a long time when you've been walking for 45 years and you finally laid your eyes on what God promised you, but you can't get in there yet. And so you go home on the second day and you come home and your wife said, how was your day today? And you say, you know, babe, you get like a lot of church people. You say, you know, babe, Joshua needs somebody to talk to him. He won't let us talk. He told us all we had to do was keep our mouth shut. He told us we couldn't say anything. We marched in silence. Which, by the way, why do you think Joshua told them to not say anything while they were marching? I think it's because he knew that 40 years earlier, it was what the spies said about their situation that kept them from receiving God's promise. He knew that when it comes to receiving God's promise, here we go, nobody's going to help me preach, but your mouth is often your own worst enemy. Sometimes you do need to talk to other people. Sometimes. Sometimes you do need to seek advice. Sometimes you do very little, honestly, but sometimes you do need to express how you feel. But sometimes the best strategy and the best advice that anybody can give you is simply this: shut up and march. Shut up and march. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't say a word. Shut your mouth and march. See, we're living in, I don't know if you caught this or not, but we're living in a day and time where people just don't, nobody likes to come under subjection to any kind of authority. How many knows what I'm talking about? Where's my school teachers in the room? You can't correct a child without the parents wanting a parent-teacher meeting so they can line your brakes. Because it's your fault that their child is a heathen. Hello, somebody. We're living in a society where nobody wants to accept or take correction. But notice that all Joshua said to the people was, shut up and march. Don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Just do what I'm telling you to do. And if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, you will see the fruit of it once you've obeyed. But you're going to have to endure. So 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and they still, there was no action. And by the way, I've been holding this from you because I want you to fully get this part of the story. Remember when God spoke to Joshua and he said, after 6 days, on the 7th day, I want you to go around 7 times and those walls are going to fall. You remember that? We read that. Guess what? Nowhere in this book is it recorded that Joshua told the people what the instructions were. So the people didn't know that after 6 days, they were going to see the victory. All they knew was that we're here for it. Sometimes you just need to decide in your life, Lord, I can't see ahead of these walls, but I'm here for it. I'm just going to do what you've instructed me to do. He doesn't tell them how long. He doesn't tell them how many laps. So they can't even think about, oh, I've only got 5 more days of this or only 4 more days of this. For all they know, they're just going to take a walk every morning. And for all they know, this is where they get like a lot of church people. Joshua has lost his ever-loving mind. What he's doing ain't working. He thinks we're in a marching band. I didn't sign up for the marching band. I don't even like a trumpet. I want to fight with my sword, bro. That's what they were thinking. What is this? That man is crazy. He's lost his mind. But they had to heed the instructions from the Lord if they were ever going to receive the promise. And the third reason that I believe we stop short is that the process is open-ended. I don't really like open-ended. I like fixed things. Anybody else like fixed things? I like to know how much time is left on the clock. Sometimes when I do go to the gym, I can be worn out. But if I know I only have 5 minutes left on the treadmill, I can keep going. How many knows what I'm talking about? If I know I only have so many minutes left or so many sets left, I can keep pushing because I know I'm going to make it. But can you imagine if somebody else was holding the clock and you don't have any idea how long you have left? Listen. I know you're saying, I need to know how much more of this foolishness. I believe there's some real situations or the Lord wouldn't direct me to preach these messages. I need to know for myself how much more this ignorance, this craziness, this torture that I'm going through. And wouldn't it be nice if God would just put a big clock on your dreams and your prayers? That you could just look at it and you could be like, I know I'm tired, I know it's getting rough, but if I can just keep pushing for X amount of time, the Lord says I'm going to bring your dreams to pass. I can do that if I know what I've got to do. But see, I've got three things working against me. Number one, I've got walls. I can't even see the city that I'm pursuing. I can't even see what I'm fighting for because I've got walls. Number two, I've got problems. If there's anybody in the room this morning that doesn't have problems, talk to me after service because I want to know your secret. Because we've all got problems. And number three, I've got no progress. I'm marching and nothing's happening. Which, by the way, I have a theory for the reason the walls didn't fall down a little bit at a time is because God did not want Joshua and these men to trust in their effort or their progress, but he wanted them to have faith in his promise. Sometimes God will let you walk around in a situation where what you're doing doesn't seem to be working because he wants you to know and trust that he's working, even when what you're doing doesn't seem to be working. Will you still pray when you don't get an immediate answer? Will you still serve when you feel like nobody appreciates you? And how many knows that's the number one thing the devil likes to do? That's an old trick, is making people think they're not appreciated. Will you still show up when you don't feel like it's making a difference? The enemy likes to make people think they're not making a difference. Will you still give even when you're not seeing the blessing flow back? Will you steal? That's the question that he wanted to know. Will you march just because I said to, not because you saw the benefit of it, not because you can see the progress? See, I have this philosophy that we would all work out and we would all eat well if we could see the results of the working out and the eating well as we were working out and eating well. Can I get a witness? I mean, you know, do 25 crunches and see an ab. I'd drop preaching right now and find myself a closet somewhere and go as hard as I could. I'd be happy to see two abs. Come on, somebody. I know we're supposed to have six. I've never seen one my whole life. Or if somebody said to you, ingest broccoli and cauliflower and it'll burn fat. Some of y'all know where you came from. You'd go home and snort broccoli and cauliflower. And that's why so many people don't stay on their diet or they stop exercising because they don't see immediate results. We live in an instant gratification society. I want to see it right now. But God wants you to know something this morning. Sometimes you have to stick to the plan for a specified amount of time and then you will see the results. Because that's the very essence, and I'm almost finished, of faith. Because it was walking around the walls of Jericho that would prepare them to fight the giants once they got inside the promised land. Did you know that? It was in what God had to do on the inside. And we're so convinced that what God wants to do for us is the most important thing most of the time. But I'm wondering if sometimes, if God doesn't send us walking around walls because what he wants to do in us is more important than what he wants to do for us. My message today is this. Some of you, and I believe this today in this service, are on lap six. And you don't even know it yet. You don't even know how many laps you got to make before you see the end result. In NASCAR, my son-in-law loves NASCAR. They have this counter on the screen, and it says the number of laps that are left. And so it lets the drivers know how they need to pace themselves. But how many knows life doesn't tell us how many laps we have left? And I wonder this morning how many people here and watching online have given up on your marriage, given up on your children, given up on a situation, or maybe you've given up on your ministry, or maybe you've even given up on God, and all the while, you were on lap six and didn't even know it. You just had one more lap to go. Well, I came to tell somebody this morning, you're on lap six. Don't give up now. God sent me here to preach this to you this morning. That's the message. Don't give up now. You're closer than you think you are. You might be tired. It might not make sense. You might feel like it looks ridiculous and you're tired of the situation. But whatever you do, don't give up now. You will receive the promise if you will endure. But here's what you got to do. You got to walk every single lap like it might be your last, believing that what God has promised you, He will perform. Because if you walk every single lap like it's your last, one day it will be. And you need to endure so that after you've received the promise, the process would have you prepared so that you can dwell in the land. Can I get a witness this morning? If they'll come to the music today. I believe this morning that there are some folks here today and you didn't come to church by accident. You might think you did, but you didn't come to church by accident. You are on the verge of quitting something that God has promised to you. Something that God has placed inside of you. And you've lost your grip. You're letting go. You've given up mentally. Some of you have checked out emotionally. But you're still here. And you're not here by chance. But you're present this morning. And you're not living in the promise yet. But God brought you into this room today. My Lord, I feel this and I mean this. God brought you into this room today or tuned in online today so that you could hear this might just be your last lap. Don't you dare let the devil to convince you to throw in the towel and quit. You might be on the verge of your breakthrough. Do not give up now. And with every lap that you make and you don't see progress and the walls aren't falling, the Lord says, there's something I'm building on the inside of you. Joshua, I want you to trust me. If you'll stand with me all over the room today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This does not mean that you're lost. But nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you and you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to endure. I feel like I'm holding on by a thread. I don't know what to do next, but I need to endure and I want the faith to rise up within me to do so. If that's you this morning, with nobody looking around, would you just slip your hand up? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, all over this room, thank you. I see hands all over this room today. And I believe the Lord has sent you here today. The Lord has sent you here today. I sense the Holy Spirit right now. And He's saying to you, He's saying to you this morning, don't you realize that I will perform what I have promised? I will do what I have said I will do. I know it doesn't look like it right now. I know you cannot see it. I know the walls are high, but if you'll keep going, if you'll keep doing what I've instructed you to do, don't give up now. I will perform that which I have promised to you. But if you stop short, you'll never receive the promise. If that's you this morning, I want to ask you all over this room to just go ahead while nobody's looking around and just step out from where you are. Come find a place in this altar right now. Just go ahead and move. Step out from where you are. Find a place in this altar this morning. I believe the Lord's going to build some faith today. Prayer warriors, council members, I'm going to need your help. Find some folks in this altar. Begin to pray with them this morning. I believe God is going to increase some faith and stir some faith today. If that's you, don't sit on it this morning. I want you to come all over this room and say, God, I'm not giving up. I'm making up my mind today. I'm not going to give up. They're still moving, so I'm going to wait while they come. I got one more group I'm going to talk to. But if you're here this morning, and in your life right now, you're still living on the sixth day, you're doing everything in your own effort, in your own ability, in your own power to make your life right. You're marching and you're trying to achieve. You're trying to be popular. I don't know what your effort is, but I know it always falls short because this book tells us all, shout all have sinned. Shout all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the good news. Here's what God promised. Doesn't matter how short you've fallen. This book says, whosoever will. Whew. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So stop trying this morning to do it in your own effort. Right now, with nobody looking around still, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm still walking around the same mountains. I'm still walking around the same addictions. I'm walking around the same efforts, but today I need to surrender my life to the grace of God.